pull out your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you have them, or if you're looking on your phone or your other device, pull those out. We are in our fourth message in the series of Love Is. Love Is. Wrapping up our year of Love Does with this portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. It's important for us that if we're practicing Love Does, that we know what we're practicing. And that the Scriptures teach us clearly how to walk. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, "Now I will show you the most excellent way." That's in the context of 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, when the Apostle Paul is actually teaching about how to manage and get along and work in the context of the church. But of course, it expands far beyond the church. And he says, "Let me show you the most excellent way. Out of all the things you could do, this is the best." And we've learned from Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 in past messages this year that the only thing that counts is what? Faith expressing itself through love. That's what the Bible teaches us. If you want to know, if you want to boil it all down, it's faith expressing itself through love. Loving God, loving each other. Love is. Now let me show you the most excellent way, Scripture says. And then the writer goes on to say, love is patient. Love is kind. We sang "Set a Fire Down in My Soul" this morning. And how many know that a situation where you're tempted to become impatient can be a big bucket of water on that fire? That, "Oh God, I want you more and more. Set a fire, Lord." And then you run into just an absolutely annoying person. And your fire wants to just go out. In an instant. This is the most excellent way. Church, it doesn't matter how exuberant we get in worship if we're not loving with patience and kindness in our lives. Amen? We can dance around and shout and sing and clap and do all the things we do in here on a Sunday morning, but what good is it if we go out from here and we're impatient and unkind? This is the most excellent way. This is God's life for us. And it's interesting how close these words are to the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I think it's fascinating how often patience and kindness are listed together. That so often it's patience and kindness. And they're like, it's as if they're partners. And I think actually that they are partners. I believe this, that patience and kindness are the two that go together. Patience is on the inside, kindness is on the outside. That patience and kindness are love's passive and active responses to people. Now, when I say passive, I don't mean passive in the way of you know, ignoring or withdrawing. What I mean passive is that it's the work internal that nobody else sees. That there's that work that's inside of you that can be very quiet or even completely unknown to somebody else. Where kindness is the active part. It's what comes out as a result of the patience. That they work together. Patience on the inside, kindness on the outside. I can be kind to people. Maybe you can relate to this. I can be kind to people on the outside, but on the inside, I'm ticked at them. You know what I'm talking about? There's that kind of that incongruent type of life where you know what you should do. You should be nice. You should be kind, but on the inside, you don't want to. I remember, what was those children's books? I don't know if it's Miss Pigglewiggle or one of those books where there's a young girl and she says things like, when she's told to go sit in the corner because she's being disciplined, she says, "I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside." You ever, what is it? Junie B. Jones, is that what it is? Okay, I got my kids' books messed up. You ever been there? Where you're living your life and there's that just inconsistency? You're doing the Christian thing, but your heart is not doing the Christian thing. You follow me? And so you can be kind, but maybe not patient on the inside. And you can be maybe patient on the inside, but not kind on the outside. And that doesn't work either. You can be just putting up with someone, but if there's no way you're going to go the extra mile and do something nice. The most excellent way is when those two go together. When you're patient on the inside and kind on the outside. Now, patience, let's look at this word. Patience is the ability to be inconvenienced over and over without becoming angry. That's the straight translation from the Greek word. How many have an over and over, but there's an ending point? Right? When my parents were raising us, they said, "You're trying my patience. You're pushing me to my limit." And I always wondered when that limit was. And I found out when that limit was, when the belt came off. And then I found where the limit was. To be inconvenienced over and over, but yet without becoming angry. That's powerful. How many times did Jesus say to forgive those that wronged you? How many times? 70 times 7. Or 7 times 7, that's 490. That's your limit, right? 491, ding, 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 ding. Don't have to be patient anymore. Don't have to forgive anymore. No, there's no limit. Meant that to be continuous, constant. And it's love resisting retaliation is what that is. And this word is not speaking about circumstances. There's a lot of us that need patience in circumstances. This word is directly dealing with our interpersonal relationships. And I bristle. I know we do too. You probably do too. When I read that definition and I look at that and I go, no, there's got to be a time when I can let it out. There's got to be a time when I have had enough and you're going to get what I really think. Anybody with me, or am I just like the only weird? Come on, help me here. There's got to be a limit. And then the Lord reminds me, if you want a limit with others, do you want me to have a limit with you? And I go, nope. I want the Lord's limitless patience, but often I want to have a limit for other people. And that's not love. That's what sets us apart as Christians. The King James Version says it this way, uses these words, that a Christian, or love suffereth long. And isn't it true that sometimes we have to suffereth long in patience because people just do wrong things? Well, the other side is kind. Kind. And that means to show yourself useful. In other words, do something. That you show yourself to be useful to another person. The other person is valued because of you. That's the love in action. Not with just withholding retaliation, whether it's retaliation by words or behavior or even striking back. But kindness is now doing something to that person that is of value to them. How many would say, I can be patient, but there's no way I'm going to do something nice? They have to both go together. Patient on the inside, kindness on the outside. But let's take this a little further. Let's look at some principles of patience. Number one, patience is only necessary in conflict. How many know you don't have to be patient when there's not an issue that you have to be patient for, right? That there's some kind of a thing that happens that forces you into that patience. Let me just ask this question. People just bug you, don't they? True? I mean, don't elbow your neighbor. Gloria, where's Gloria? I know, see. You're elbowing Pat right now through the Spirit. I know that's what you're doing. Why do people bug you? Think about it for a second. The people that bug you, and it's not unspiritual. Okay, let's just get real here. Oh, but Pastor, we're Christians. We're not supposed to have people in our life that bug us. Just get over it. Get real. Okay, why do people bug you? They bug you because they're different than you. That's why they bug you. Now, in your mind, they bug you because they're the ones that are wrong. That's what you think. But really, it's just that they're different. Our differences create misunderstanding and our differences baffle us. How many have people in your life that are different than you that bug you? Come on, people. How many are sitting next to one of the... No, I'm kidding. How many have said, why does she act that way? What was he thinking? She just doesn't understand me. How can he do the thing she does? She doesn't make sense to me. If he would just stop. My parents are from another galaxy. My children were not born of me. They were born of aliens. They had to be. Why don't you talk to me? Why do you get so emotional? Does that relate to anybody, those sentences? Wouldn't it be easier? Wouldn't it be easier if everyone was as wonderful as you? Wouldn't life be great? You look in the mirror and you go, God, you did a good job. Why isn't everybody as wonderful as me? Why can't they just admit that I'm always right? Why can't they just see that? Well, maybe not always right. Maybe practically always right. I mean, I'm pretty much always right. I was wrong one time. And that's when I thought I was wrong, but I wasn't. I have to be patient. I have to be patient with my wife. I really do. You're chuckling because you think a story's coming, don't you? I'm contemplating it right now. Husbands are saying, don't do it. Don't do it. It'll be bad. My wife has to be patient with me sometimes. And I know you find... What do you mean that's right? When I said it the other way, you didn't amen nearly as loud. You got to watch who your wife's friends are. You have to watch that. You know you've got to be patient with each other. Because neither one of you is right all the time, and neither one of you is wrong all the time, and sometimes you're both right. You're just seeing something from a different perspective. And patience is necessary for us to get along. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. Whoops, sorry. It's at the bottom there. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, patient. Patient with everyone. Notice how kindness and patience is in the same verse yet again, together. Patience puts up with people without retaliation. These people that bug us, patience puts up with them. Patience turns the other cheek. Patience just, not just grits your teeth, but lets the joy of the Lord come through your life. This just yesterday, I was in the line over at Sprouts doing some shopping. And I'm like everybody else. I mean, nobody searches for the longest line, right? I mean, that's just dumb. You go through and there's all the checkout stands and you look and you survey and you go, which one's going to be the fastest? Because you want to get through there. And I'm competitive anyway, so I like to compete. And I'll see the person in the line and I'll go, I'm going to get in this line, see if I can beat you. Now, as if it's got anything to do with me. It's the checker, and who knows. But then I'll eye the checker and go, ooh, he looks sharp. I'll go to him. The one over there, she looks kind of dull. I don't think she'll be fast. And it's just a game to get you through the day. Does anybody else play the game? You do? Okay, good. It feels better when the warped things in my mind are considered common. So I'm there, and I picked the shortest line. There's only two people in front of me. There's lines in the others, and I don't know why they got in those long lines. It's like when you're driving down a two-lane road, and that one line has like 19 cars, and the other lane has two. Why are they in that lane? It makes no sense. Get in the short lane. It baffles me, but fine. I'll go in the short one. So I'm in the short line, and we're moving right along. First gal, boom, she's done. Gal in front of me, she's got a little baggie full of spices. And then another little baggie with another, maybe a thimble full of spices, and she wants to return her spices. How do you do that? I don't know how you return spices. They're not even in a jar. They're in a baggie. She's already poured them out in there, and she's dickering with the woman at the cash register about the value of the spices, and she wants, and the lady says, well, they're about 40 cents. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. You're quibbling over 40 cents, and you're making my line go slow. Manager, we need a manager on checkout line number 3, please. And the manager makes her way out and says, well, we'll just gift this one to you. By that time, the other two lines were past me and I lost. Now, in my mind, this is yesterday, in my mind, I'm thinking, love is patient, love is kind, love is patient, love is kind. You're going to have to stand up before the people and speak this, love is patient, love is kind. And I guarantee you, I was patient. I didn't, you know, do any cart ramming or anything like that. But I didn't retaliate. I didn't reach over and back the side of her head and go, psh, are you kidding me? Here's 40 cents. Goodness, I'll give you a buck just to get through the line and get out of my way. Didn't do any of that. Was patient. But I didn't give her a love does, you know, abundant life pen or something either. Here's what the scripture says. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Get this. It doesn't say put up with it and grit your teeth like I did in the line. It says rejoice and be glad. How many know that that's an are you kidding me scripture? Right? I mean, really, read it. Blessed are you when people insult you. How many are in for that? I'll sign up for that one. I want to go to that small group or just they're going to insult me all night. That's what I'll do. Persecute you. That means do bad things to you, hurt you, wreck your stuff. Or falsely say all kinds of evil about you. Yes, I want to be around the people that gossip about me and tell slanderous lies. Rejoice and be glad. That is, are you kidding me? Because great is your reward in heaven. Now notice this says because of me. Because of me. When people insult you and do things because you're a jerk, that's on you. But when it's because of your stance for Jesus Christ and your life with Christ, that people will react differently toward you. And sometimes there will be very negative things that will come. And the Lord warned us about the persecution. He says, when that happens, rejoice and be glad. Because that means your light has invaded the darkness and the darkness doesn't like it. Or the salt in your life has flavored and that which does not want the salt is against you. And so remember to keep that separate. But to rejoice is the key thing. Patience isn't just gritting your teeth, but it's saying, Lord, thank you. And I've been trying to practice this in my life. Lord, you are patient with me. I can be patient now. Lord, you love me even when I'm a pain, a big fat pain. Lord, I can be patient and love even now because you are that to me. And that to me makes all the difference, even in those difficult times. And number three, patience requires endurance and waits for the right timing. Now, when I say that, I don't mean waits for the right timing that, oh, it requires endurance, but there's a time when I can nail them. That's not what I mean. I'll get there in a second. 200 years ago, Thomas Jefferson wrote, when angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, count to 100. 100 years or so later, Mark Twain wrote this, when angry, count to 4. When very angry, cuss. Little bit of a change in 100 years. I'm really sad to hear or think today that maybe today's line would say, when you're angry, count to 10. When you're really angry, get a gun and shoot them. People do crazy things when they get angry and frustrated and hopeless. Scripture calls us to be patient, therefore, beloved. Until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. There's you have to endure. You have to wait. And there's a time. Now, when I say there's a time, I mean there's a time when that patience just simply doesn't mean that you're the little Christian doormat and everybody gets to wipe their feet on you. But how many know that sometimes kindness and patience comes out in a confrontation that's loving? Jesus, in the scripture, didn't always appear patient or kind. Anybody ever read Matthew 24? When he confronts the Pharisees and he says some pretty harsh things to them. But how many know that when the doctor examines you, that sometimes he has to put his finger right on the sore spot and say, does it hurt here? And you go, whoa, of course it hurts there. What are you doing? You're crazy. And he said, no, we had to find out that sometimes the most kind you can be is when you have a loving confrontation. Parents, you know that sometimes the most loving you can be is when you have to discipline. And it truly does hurt you more than it hurts them. But there's a timing. And the timing is important. There are two kinds of people, really. There are skunks and turtles. The skunks, you know who the skunks are, right? When they get upset, they spew all over the place and they put stink on everybody and everybody gets affected by their stink. How many skunks do we have in here this morning? You lie. Not one hand. How many skunks? When you get mad, it just goes all over. Okay. Some few honest people now. But there's also turtles. Turtles happens when there's the problem. Turtles suck their head inside their shell and they just don't want to come out. And they withdraw. How many turtles we got? Okay. A few more turtles than skunks. In the middle, I don't know who you guys are, platypus or something weird. Patience requires a response sometimes, but it requires a response in the right way, with the right spirit, at the right time. I've learned after being married for 32 years, there's a time to confront and a time not to. There's a time to have the talk and a time not to. There's a time to wait. There's a time to add love and soothe. And there's a time to say, you know, we should talk about this. Patience knows the timing and in the right way. So patience. Conflict will happen. Patience doesn't retaliate and requires endurance and timing. Number two, kindness. The characteristics of kindness. The scripture says to be kind to everyone. Because Jesus is kind to everyone. Now, let me ask you this. If you were to say, or if I were to ask you, what's harder, to be patient or kind? What would you say? How many would say it's harder to be patient? How many would say it's harder to be kind? Okay. How many don't have a clue and you're just kind of wondering when this is over and the NFL game is coming up? Okay. I'm not exactly sure, but I think in my own personal life, kindness is way harder to me. Maybe not to you. I can grit my teeth and bear it, but to actually take the active, I'll do something nice for you, is like over the top sometimes. I can walk away and not retaliate, because that would be all over the news, and it would be bad, and you'd fire me. Pastor punches out lady in the Sprouts line for trying to return spices. How many know the church board would have a few things to say about my employment if I were to do that? So I can withhold that, but to go out of my way and then do something nice and kind? But that's what Jesus did. He was patient with us, and then he came to earth and gave us his life. The ultimate patience coupled with the ultimate kindness. Today there's this kind of, this three-word phrase that's really, really popular. When something bad happens, and it even showed up in the newspaper this week as I read it. And I was fascinated that it even showed up because it was annoying me too. And it's this phrase, when something bad happens that people write, especially on social media, sending thoughts and prayers. Sending thoughts. How many really are praying when they say sending thoughts and prayers? Some maybe pray, but others are just using that as a way to say, we love you and we're sorry this happened, but we're not going to do anything. That thoughts and prayers without action, well, that, and I'm saying that in the common, you know, way it's used today. Of course, if we pray, it does everything. It moves mountains. But when we say sending thoughts and prayers and do nothing, what good is it? Action. But scripture says, do likewise. Go and do. Many times Jesus said, here's what I've shown you, now go do. Don't be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Kindness is the doing. And Jesus was kind to everyone. Says this, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. Don't fight, but be kind. Now, sometimes kindness demands a confrontation. Okay, that's fine. But you do it in a loving way. Who are we to be kind to? Be kind to your enemies. Say, well, Pastor, we're Christians. We don't have enemies. Nonsense. We all have enemies. Whether it's because you're a Christian or because you're human. One of the two, you have an enemy somewhere. Somebody that you struggle with, were to show kindness to them, which is the active showing of value. When's the last time you did something nice? Made a batch of cookies, sent a card, went out of your way to say, you know, I just want to show you God's love. Or even take God's love out of you if you want to, because you think that might appear a bit pretentious. Just say, thinking about you. When's the last time your enemies were to show kindness to the needy? Sometimes kindness to the needy is tough for me because I drive by and I say, I can be kind to you, put a dollar in your bucket and you're going to go buy booze with it and get drunk again. So you have to figure out how to do it. But the scripture talks about being kind to the needy. Blessed is he who is kind to the needy, scripture says. Proverbs 14, whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Proverbs 19, he who is kind to the poor loans to the Lord. Powerful scriptures. Be kind to the family of God. Galatians 6:10 says, remember to be kind to everyone, but especially to those who are in the family of God. If you're going to start somewhere, start with these people right here. Be kind. Do something extra. I can't thank you enough for the kindness that you showed to me when I was sick the last couple of months. It was so nice. And I felt so loved because of your kindness. I felt your prayers. It was wonderful. Kindness. Use kind words. When you're kind. Words are powerful. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Use your words when you're kind. Encourage someone. Tell someone you're proud of them. Tell someone they did a good job. Compliment someone and do it honestly, not with flattery. How many have heard a really good compliment, and how long does it last for you? I can go a couple of days, maybe a week on a good compliment. Now, you got to refresh that. So I'm just, if you compliment me this Sunday, make sure next Sunday you do it again, okay? Because you got to kind of refuel. Words are powerful. I appreciate you because. I admire you because. I'm impressed with you because. What I saw you do, you did it well. I'm thankful for you. Those words are powerful. Use your words to be kind to people. Say thank you. Another one, be generous. The wicked borrow and do not pay back, but the righteous are generous and keep giving. We're a generous church, but be generous to each other. Scripture says we can do that. I really enjoy Stan. I don't see Stan here this morning. I love what Stan does. That he saves money back and he puts a little fund in an envelope. When it gets to be about $50, he'll randomly give that to someone, usually someone he can kind of discern that is in need, like a single mom going into a grocery store. And he just randomly gives them the $50. I just think that's the coolest thing. What if we each went, without one cup of coffee a week, and after a month, we'd have $130? Yeah, that was a joke, okay? It took you a second. Okay, maybe you've got $20. And what if you just bless someone in generosity? It feels so good and it blesses other people. We can be generous. The Lord calls us to do that. Pay the bill when you go out and tip well. It's noticed. It matters. Be generous with your time. Clean. I do this. I clean bathrooms when I leave. Not just here, but anywhere I go. Wherever I go, I clean the bathroom when I leave. Because it's nice to walk into a clean bathroom, isn't it? I don't like to go into a bathroom and it's all gunky and yucky and fun. I just take a minute, clean it up. Whatever it is, be kind. Do some things. So, why do we do all this? Because God is patient and kind to you. That's why. God is patient and kind with you. That's why we do this. God never asks you to do anything for anybody else that He already hasn't done for you. And when He says be patient and kind, it's because He's already been immeasurably more patient and kind with you. Titus 3:4 says that He is the kindness of God. Jesus is the kindness of God. You want to know what kindness and patience looks like? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about Jesus, and that's what patience and kindness looks like. You can find it really, really clearly right there. And how is it most clear? Jesus came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. And then He hung on a cross and He died. Not one of us, because we're still here living, has sacrificed that much. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He died for us. And while He hung there, He looked at the people who struck the hammer on nails to put Him there, and that pushed the crown of thorns on His head, and that whipped His body, and that ran Him through with the spear. And He said, Father, forgive them. Patience and kindness. He's called us to do that. God is merciful. Because God is merciful, we need to be patient in kindness. You know what mercy means? Mercy means not giving us the judgment we deserve. That's mercy. You deserve this, but I'm not going to do it. How many know we all deserve God's judgment? Every one of us. So if we deserve God's judgment and He shows us mercy and we're supposed to be kind like Jesus is kind and patient like Jesus is patient, then we ought to have a little bit more leeway for people in our lives. Amen? If not, we basically just roll our eyes at the kindness of God and the mercy of God. Mercy is not giving us the judgment we deserve, but He also gives us grace. Grace is receiving the blessing that we don't deserve. How many of us in this room deserve heaven? Because you're so good, you're so talented, you're so righteous, and you're just so darn lovable. Anybody? No, me neither. Grace says, not because you are that, but even in spite of the fact that you are filthy, your righteousness is as filthy rags, I'm still going to give you heaven. That's God's grace. If Jesus Christ withheld the judgment that we deserve, and He gives us blessing that we don't deserve, that's patience and kindness. How much then should we follow in His footsteps and give patience and kindness to others? He's kind of trumped us with the cross-shaped ace, hasn't he? How can we look at the cross and then not be patient and kind? When everything the cross means is patience and kindness. God is patient with us that none should perish. Why is he patient? 2 Peter 2:9 says, because he wants everyone to come to repentance. He's patient because there's a hope for everybody. No matter how dark their lives are, no matter how venomous they are, no matter how ugly. I mean, there's a bunch of you that were just rotten. I knew some of you before you got saved. No hope for you. And then God went and did a miracle. You realize that's the whole story of Jonah? Jonah's not about a fish. Jonah's about a man who said, God, I know you're kind and I know you're patient and you're going to be gracious to those Ninevites and they're vile and I want them judged. And then what did God do? He went and showed him mercy and grace. And Jonah got mad about it. He said, I knew you were going to do that. God says, what do you expect? I'm God. God is patient and kind. And he's patient and kind that none should perish. Don't lose hope. Finally, the kindness of God leads to repentance. Romans 2:4. Don't you know that the kindness of God leads to repentance? When we're kind, it softens the heart. Your argument, your apologetics are all great. Knowing your stuff, knowing the scripture is all great, but you know it leads to repentance. Not your ability to argue your truth the best, but your kindness. God's kindness led us to repentance. Our kindness can lead others to repentance. There's a story about a Catholic bishop, Fulton Sheen, very famous Catholic bishop, and he was traveling in the southern part of Africa, and he traveled to a leper colony. And you know the Catholic garb, and they have the collar, and very often a long, large cross. And he walked among the lepers, and some of them laying there in nothing more than a bit of a small loincloth, and their open sores just oozing with that gross disease. And Fulton Sheen writes that how he bent down to minister to one of the men, and as he bent down, the chain on his cross broke, and the cross fell into the open wound of one of those oozing man's sores. And at first he said, I got disgusted and repulsed. And then I realized that there's no greater image of the kindness and the patience of God than to see the cross of Jesus Christ go to the places that are the most vile. Church, if we can't go to the dirtiest places, we're not following Christ. Because the cross goes to the lowest. The cross goes to the worst. The cross puts up with the most. And the cross shows kindness no matter what. Here's what I know. The need for patience will find you. You don't have to go looking for opportunity to show patience. It will find you. But then you have to respond with kindness. And then you have to go looking for kindness to show it. Will we be people of a different spirit, a different life? Will we be those who will actually live the life that we sung this morning in our chorus? Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. More of you, God. When we sing that song, we have to then define it by being patient and kind. Because that's what that means. It doesn't mean I want more exuberance. I want more loud shouts. I want to dance more often. It means I want to show the love of Christ even in the lowest places, even in the most difficult times with people. Pastor Sean, if you'd come. Church, Christianity is not about just feeling good and having God make your life easy. Christianity is rooted in being others-centered, not self-centered. That's what Jesus came to do. And he said this, I've given you an example, now do as I have done to you. Jesus said this on the eve of his crucifixion. He's shown us the example. Now do what I've done. And Jesus was patient and kind. Sing that chorus again. It's a great chorus. It's easy to remember. Some choruses have lots of words and they're good words. Some choruses have few words and they sink deep. This chorus, "Set a fire down in my soul," sinks deep. That I want more of you, God. And as we sing this chorus, I'd like you to think and consider where you are in this subject of patience and kindness. Do you find yourself very just short-fused? You just fly off quick. You get irritated quick. And I'll just be the first to admit, I mean, you don't live with me. My wife lives with me. This is preaching to me right here. Man, I get annoyed fast. And it annoys me that I get annoyed so fast. Because it's a red flag indication that I am not following Jesus as close as I need to be. I'm calling on God. God, change my heart. Change my thinking. Help me to be patient and kind. Help me not just to grit my teeth and resist, but help me to take the next step and to bless someone else. So let's sing this chorus. Let's sing it as we sing it. Sing with the context of, Lord, set that fire of kindness and peace or patience inside my life. Okay? Let's do that.
Set a fire down in my soul.
We want to be patient, Lord. We want to be kind, Lord. We want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
More of you, God.
Praise you, Lord.
Set a fire down in my soul.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Stelling Road in Cupertino, California.